This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Leaders at UNC Chapel Hill announced yesterday afternoon that all undergraduate classes will move online starting tomorrow. The announcement came just 1 week after classes began and following news of a surge in positive COVID-19 cases. The decision does not affect other schools in the UNC system, which, as of this morning, are all reporting far fewer active or recent cases than UNC Chapel Hill. Pravina Somsundaram joins me now. She's senior writer for the Daily Tar Heel and a junior at UNC Chapel Hill. Welcome to the State of Things, Pravina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Let's talk about the whiplash effect of this past week, especially yesterday. The announcement that classes would be fully remote came just an hour before tuition was due. Where did that leave students?
Yeah, I think since Friday, we've been getting reports of the COVID-19 clusters on or near campus, and that sent a lot of students into a frenzy. And so when the decision came yesterday, a lot of students were left in confusion without a full-fledged plan of what to do. So it's kind of a lot of frantic nerves around campus right now.
Well, the university says it's going to make efforts to refund on-campus housing costs if a student chooses to return home. Is there any procedure in place for testing students before they head back to wherever they came from, their hometown?
Yeah, so the faculty executive committee held a special meeting yesterday about 15 minutes after we got the announcement that all undergraduate classes would be moved to online. And they've said that they won't be doing mass testing of students just because that can create a false sense of security, or a negative result. Could create a false sense of security, but the testing is available through Campus Health for students who want to seek it out.
All right. The announcement, now what about, but if you are going to go back, would there be any mandatory testing for any student who says, I'm going to go back to my hometown, or that's still up to the student to be tested, whether they want to be tested or not?
It would be up to the student, right, if they would want to be tested.
So the announcement came from Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz, and I know the decision to actually close the campus has to come from the Board of Governors. The campus is open, UNC Chapel Hill. So what is the chancellor able to do in the meantime?
Right. So the Board of Governors is the only body that has the power to close off or shut down a campus, but this decision was able to be made by university and administration leaders because they have the authority to change how classes operate, which is why they changed undergraduate classes to online.
All right. Well, let's talk about the testing and quarantine system in place. The positive testing rate rose from 2.8% to 13.6% last week. 130 positive cases reported among students during the period. What's the university doing for students who tested positive and those who they came in contact with?
Right. So prior to classes beginning, in the university's roadmap, they had laid out two dorms on campus, one for quarantine, which is for students who are identified as close contacts, and one for isolation, which is for students who test positive. And so the occupancies for those are listed on the dashboard. But recently, there isn't enough room in the quarantine dorm, so they've been sending students to hotels off campus if they're identified as close contacts, which we've seen in the aftermath of the COVID-19 clusters reported.
The dashboard that you referred to and that we're using to track the surge in testing infrastructure is not a complete picture of the Tar Heel community. Talk about who's left out of those numbers.
Right. I think that's an important note to make. A lot of the cases are missing from the dashboard. The only guaranteed test results that we have are those reported by Campus Health, and the testing through Campus Health is only available for students with access to their facility. So faculty, staff, other employees, students who might live off campus, they would all receive tests through other outlets. So whether that's a drive-through clinic or a private facility, and they would have to either self-report or the county health department would have to report to the university. So there could be a time lag there or also missing reports. So the campus health director in an interview with the DTH has said they can't report things that they don't know. So some of the data is missing from the dashboard.
Well, this points to another problem system-wide. And I know that you're, Pravina, focused on UNC Chapel Hill, but maybe you have some insight into why UNC Chapel Hill at this moment anyway looks like such an outlier. Maybe some of that lies in the fact that the colleges, the campuses are all have different reporting systems, don't they?
Right. So what I do know is many of the UNC system schools have similar community standards and guidelines to ensure compliance from students and other members of the campus, but the way that they report might be different. So some of the university dashboards only report student testing, but UNC tries to report all testing. And so the way that the dashboards operate is different. We also know that the UNC system gets daily reports from all of the universities, and so they maintain their own tracking system, but that data is not public. And so it's interesting to kind of see the difference between the UNC system schools.
And you talked about even in the UNC testing system, it's possible that not all students are, we know that not all students are being tested. Why might some students choose not to get tested on campus?
Right. So actually, something that we saw this weekend and that was on social media a lot was the fact that prior to this weekend, you had to pay a $50 fee if you wanted to get tested at Campus Health over the weekend. And they recently lifted that fee, but that was one of the reasons why students didn't want to get tested at Campus Health. You also have to stand in a line outside of Campus Health, socially distant, but I think that also kind of creates a sense of insecurity for students to be there. And so they want to get tested at a drive-thru, which might be easier and a little bit safer per se, but I think there's just a lot of confusion with students.
Confusion so far. Yeah, Pravina Somasundaram is a senior writer for the Daily Tar Heel. The surge in cases at UNC Chapel Hill is raising questions about why other schools in the UNC system don't seem to be facing similar outbreaks. Lily Knapp joins us now from Western North Carolina, where she reports for Blue Ridge Public Radio. Hello, Lily.
Hi, Frank.
Western Carolina University is only reporting one active confirmed case, but talk about how Jackson County's numbers compare to that of Orange County, for instance.
Yeah, Western Carolina University, you know, is in a very different position than what UNC Chapel Hill is in right now. They just have one active case on campus. You know, students began moving in on August 1st. But when you look at the actual numbers for the rate of testing in Jackson County versus Orange County, they're strikingly similar. If you were in, you know, Wake and Mecklenburg, you might think that there really aren't as many cases out here in Western North Carolina. But Jackson County has about 100 out of 100,000 population. So that's that 1.6%, where Orange is at just, you know, 1.1. So it's right around those same, that same percentage point, even though it is a lot smaller out here. I would point that the deaths are very different. In Orange County, there have been 48 deaths, while in Jackson, there have been just 7.
Well, you've also taken a look at the numbers in Franklin County, where Southwestern Community College is. What are you finding there?
I think, yeah, you mean Macon County, and there's an SEC campus in Jackson County as well as in Macon and some across the other parts of the region. And in Macon, it's actually 136 out of 100,000 in the population. But again, there are just 2 deaths. But that county actually has the highest percentage in the region.
Well, let's talk about North Carolina's community colleges, Lily, for a minute, because there might be different concerns than residential campuses like Chapel Hill, for instance. How are counties and the schools themselves accounting for commuter students?
So it is very different. So the North Carolina community college system is made up of 58 colleges in the state, and most of them are all commuter students. So for SCC specifically, there isn't any residential part of the campus, and so everybody is a commuter. But SCC has moved about 70% of their classes into hybrid or fully online, and they say that this is, you know, the highest percentage that they've ever had of online. And whenever we look at those questions that we're having with the UNC system about who has the autonomy to be able to change the modality or go fully online, SCC does that have that local autonomy to be able to do that. However, the NC Community College Board of Trustees sets the policy at the state level for all 58 of those institutions.
Do you have a sense about concern? Certainly at this moment, UNC Chapel Hill appears to be the outlier, obviously having to change policy just a week after classes began. But what about other colleges and universities out west? Is there growing concern that things might have to change there? What are you hearing?
I think people are concerned. And the hearing that UNC changed their online modality. Yesterday was the first day of classes at Western Carolina University. And so the chancellor put out a letter saying, you know, we had a successful first day of classes, but we are going to be able to continue evaluating the conditions on whether or not we can deliver residential operations. So there is definitely that concern. And, you know, I live in Jackson County, so it's been really, really interesting to watch the students come back to town and just see more and more people on the streets and at the grocery store and things like that.
Well, Lily, can you briefly give us an update on the lawsuit the UNC system is facing from its staff and faculty over alleged unsafe working conditions?
Absolutely. So that lawsuit was directed at the UNC system overall, and specifically here for Western Carolina, there were two faculty who were listed as plaintiffs. And from what I understand, the lawsuit is going to be in a hearing on Wednesday to decide if it is a class action suit. And that decision will focus on whether or not the lawsuit will be able to represent all employees and faculty and staff in the UNC system.
All right, Lily, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Lily Canep reports for Blue Ridge Public Radio, and I also spoke with Pravina Somasundaram, who's a senior writer for the Daily Tar Heel, and you can find links to both of their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org.